useless without my glasses. Morning. Welcome. This beautiful morning, LWML Sunday. We welcome you, especially if you're visitors here. Special welcome to you. You can follow along our services in the bulletin that we handed out as you came in, and our Lutheran books. Today we have Pastor John Herman, who's filling in for Pastor Schaff, who's on vacation. I didn't know we gave him vacation, but he's gone on vacation anyway. There will not be a Sunday school after church today, but there is cake and treats and coffee fellowship for LWML Sunday. So please join us after service for that. And there's also a sign-up in the narthex for a mini rally at St. Paul's in Auburn on Saturday, the 14th, from 9:30 to 12 o'clock. So please consider that as you are leaving today. With that, I'll start our services with hymn 912.
And I'll rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. And the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is LWML Sunday, the Lutheran Women's Missionary League Sunday. I'd like to ask if our ladies could stand up, even the men if they help participate with them, though they may be thanked for all of their ministry. Thank you. Anybody else? There we go. They're right in the back there. Wonderful. Just stand. And thank you so much. God bless you all. Thank you. The scripture lesson today is from the Holy Gospel, where Jesus tells the disciples to go out in witness and in mission, much like our Lutheran Women's Missionary League. And he tells them not to have any fear. In fact, he says, fear not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. So where is the headquarters of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League? If you think about it, it's right here at Grace Lutheran Church, or in every congregation where there's a group of women serving our Lord in that way. It's in their hearts, in their spirits, as they offer their time and substance to the Lord. But officially, the headquarters or the administrative office of the LWML is in St. Louis, where our church body headquarters are. Anybody ever been to St. Louis? Yes, this is the time of year to go there, because in the summer, when it's hot and humid, forget it. But if you go to St. Louis, you've got to ride up in that little elevator to the top of the Gateway Arch, that national park there in St. Louis. The Gateway Arch that symbolizes the westward movement of immigrants that may have well passed right down here off of Highway 49 and Bear River. But when you go in there, you better ask the Lord to say the words that He does in this text to you, namely, fear not, because I want to say that both claustrophobia and acrophobia may be found in that trip to the top of St. Louis Arch. You get into this tiny little capsule. There's no windows outside the legs of the arch. You go up inside that arch with four other people, elbow to elbow and knee to knee. And then you finally arrive at the top. There's a couple of slits to look down 620 feet below you with absolutely nothing other than the floor you're standing on. So if you have either of those phobias, the fear of heights or the fear of closed spaces, be ready. Fear. Phobia. The phobia is actually the Greek word that this came from. This word that Jesus uses. It's right there in the Bible. Phobia. And the media today, more than ever, makes a living off of phobia or fear. The heightened drama for every story, the rapid speech. They almost want to create anxiety. But Jesus' words to us are spoken again and again to fear not. And they were spoken to the disciples as well, over and over again, like a good teacher, because it was hard for them to not have fears. Remember that almost everywhere they went, they were frightened of something, even at the open tomb. So now Jesus is sending them out, kind of like salesmen for Christ, and He tells them to not be afraid of them, of anybody that you go and talk with. Fear God alone, He tells them. Now, we don't fear God, so to speak. We don't have to be afraid of Him. Jesus Christ has taken our penalty, our fear of punishment, with Him to the cross. There He died to pay our escape from the hell that He mentions in this lesson. There on the cross was one like us, Jesus Christ. The devil came to Him early on in His ministry, and he tried to load Him with all kinds of fears, all kinds of what-ifs. He said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this spot." Certainly Jesus, like you and me, had many ifs in His life. If He could have engaged in sinful worry, He would have been like us. Why, He was always under critique. Even His enemies said that some of the miracles He had done were done by the devil himself, Beelzebub. Only in a small way then did Jesus Christ really know happiness. And yet, instead of seeing Jesus as overwhelmed by fear, picture Him, if you will, in that boat with His disciples, going along the Sea of Galilee. There He rested calmly at the bow of the ship, taking a nap. And the poet John Greenleaf Whittier interpreted that scene for us in a hymn that's actually in our Lutheran hymnal, O Sabbath Rest of Galilee. That poem, that hymn, had its beginnings in a long narrative poem that was written by him in 1872 in the Atlantic Monthly. It was called The Brewing of Soma. The Brewing of Soma. And it describes pagan priests going into the forest and drinking themselves into a stupor with a concoction called soma, where we have the word sleep from. They try to have a religious experience and contact the spirit world. So after describing that scene, Whittier goes on with the lesson, "Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish way." Now those words are relevant today, for in a modern context, they speak to us of the drug culture and those looking for an experience to prove the reality of God. But listen to these words of a Jesus almost absent from fear. "O Sabbath rest of Galilee, O calm of hills above, where Jesus knelt to share with thee the silence of eternity interpreted by love. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace." The beauty of thy peace that he offers you and me. Here was a man, John Greenleaf Whittier, that lived through the terrifying years of the Civil War. He wrote this hymn in 1872. The Civil War, in which in a single 12-hour period in Antietam, Virginia, 12,000 men were killed, more than the combined wars of Iraq and Afghanistan put together. Yet he spoke of that still, calm voice of Christ given to us particularly and necessarily in the sacrament of his body and blood that touches our mouth and that feeds our burdened souls and reminds us audio and visually that nothing can stand between God and the people that he offered his son, Jesus Christ, for. And now this is such good news that Jesus sends us out, sends the Women's Missionary League out, sent his disciples out and said, shout it from the rooftops. The good news that we don't have to fear, that the future, no matter what, is in God's hands. The good news that is shared by our LWML every time a coin is dropped into that LWML mite box. You know, they say that we're going to become, at some point anyway, a cashless society. So what do you do with your change today? I've gotten into the habit myself. I don't like to be bothered with with coins and my keys and my cell phone in my pocket. I get rid of the coins quickly. I just drop them there on the window sill right above our sink and put them in there. Why bother with it? Give it away. Box it. Don't carry it around. That's what the LWML can do with just your change that you accumulate over time. Now this year marks the 75th anniversary, the jubilee year of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and also of our own Protestant church, 500 years since Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door in Wittenberg, Germany. But 75 years since the LWML organized itself, it was in Chicago, Illinois. And their mission, of course, is to get the word out. And it may have been easier then, 75 years ago. And who knows what the future might hold for us and our children and grandchildren. Yet God is faithful and he's promised that his church will succeed even against the gates of hell and all that the devil, the world, and the flesh can throw at it. Now you know there's never a perfect time to start an organization like the LWML. But if it was 75 years ago, what year was it that they began? 1942. And what was going on then? The Second World War. Already for 3 years, the parts of the world that were engaged in that conflict, and the United States stepped in just a year earlier, 1941, before the LWML was formed. And many young men went off to war, and the women of that time took over those jobs, those vacancies left by the new soldiers. The circumstances were challenging, to say the least. But in July of 1942, 100 women met in Chicago to encourage a greater missionary endeavor, inspiration, and service, and they would gather mission funds and projects above and beyond what our church body had budgeted. And from this humble beginning, that little mite box, the League has blessed the mission efforts of congregations, districts, and our synod. And it goes way beyond just individual churches. They also work with developing Bible studies and leadership training and befriending our career missionaries overseas and in North America and South America. They gather in blankets and clothing and quilts to help the impoverished and give food to the hungry. And above all, they nurture relationships with lives that have been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as we look ahead, so many of our fears are unfounded. I recall an elderly man, he was 90 years old, he came to me in my church office where I was a vicar, a seminary intern pastor. And he came in and he sat down, I heard that people were talking about me and I want to know what's going on. And I did my best to reassure him that there was nothing of the sort going on whatsoever, no truth in it. In the end, it didn't really matter. My friend Alfred would be in heaven shortly afterwards. His imagination, like ours, maybe had gotten the best of him. But I know he wouldn't have to fear. He would be in heaven a year or two later. And all the things that we have to fear need to be placed in perspective with reference to heaven. Heaven is our hope. Heaven is the end of our journey and only the beginning because of Christ. In spite of whatever fantasies or realities we face and experience, we have a Father in heaven, and he tells us all is well. He sees the injustices about us. He sees the enemies of the cross and all that injustice done to his Son. But that's why he died. And that's why he sent disciples like you and me out to serve him in sincerity and in truth. In the midst of it all, we offer to him our phobias. In the smallest of spaces, in the tightest of places, we will position ourselves under the arching canopy of God's grace in Jesus Christ, take ourselves at the foot of the cross and his open tomb, knowing that neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ our Lord. Amen.